hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. And with us, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. Shane, good morning to you.
Happy Wednesday.
It is. It's a happy Wednesday. Did you have a good time on the way in this morning? Did you drive or did you walk?
Oh, no, I drove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you would jog or something.
No, I dropped Drew off at school at 7:30 and then came over here, got to talk with Councilmember Jamie Averwaters, talked with her for about a good 30 minutes on my way here. So always good to have good conversations.
Oh, yeah. Get you started.
Yeah.
Well,
so, hey, and we did not make any decisions, so we didn't violate any law. It's always good for council members just to talk. So, had a great meeting last night, Bart. We had our community meeting at Olive Branch Church.
Those are good to have.
Yeah, we had one last week ago Tuesday at Blackman Community Center, and it was really good. Lots of good questions. All the council members were there. So, it was really, really cool. Lots of good information. So,
was there an area that seemed to keep coming up more and more in that town hall meeting?
Well, what we did, and the council really is committed to doing this more often, and Bart, I'm trying to do it with these Facebook Live sessions, and our City TV 3 has done an unreal job with all of our social media platforms. You guys advertise a bunch of those and push those out for us, but really engaging more of the citizenry in what's happening in your community. So last night we talked about Parks and Recreation. We talked about road projects. We talked about community development. So we talked about affordable housing and some of those things. And then lastly, we talked about our crime updates and our police department, real-time crime center, and those type of things. So it was lots of good questions, lots of good input, and lots of good feedback.
We did some checking the other day in preparation for this broadcast to see what the top topics would be as far as listener concerns, and they gave us some feedback. Number one was population growth and all that entails.
Sure.
Mainly traffic. The second was housing affordability. Third was economic development. And then infrastructure needs. Let's jump in with both feet and start with population growth. We can't slow it down. We can't stop it. We have to make it the best it can be.
Yeah, I think, and that was a question last night. We talked about population growth. Our average population growth, like last year, or I'll say 2023 and then 2024, we're averaging around 2%. Which is that's a manageable number. It's not near like it was with the 7-8%, 9% growth. The county's growing a little faster. Just I think there's areas in the unincorporated areas that are growing pretty fast, and I think the county's really working on having a sensible discussion about Plan Rutherford, which I've not been involved in that. I've talked to several commissioners. Commissioner Phillips has had a great conversation with him. Commissioner Reed, you know, really talking about what type of density should be allowed in the county. You know, to me, I think it makes more sense, and I think the Home Builder Association, they're working on this as well. Does it make sense to put really small lots out in the county? That seems like that would make more sense in the communities. But, that, you know, Bart, population growth, when I moved here, I think we had a population growth or population of 37,000 in 1992 when I moved here from Monteagle to come to MTSU. You know, and we think we're probably closer to 170,000 now.
And this is the city of Murfreesboro.
Yeah, just the city of Murfreesboro. And, you know, I think it's almost a catch-22. You try to do everything you can to improve the quality of life in your community, right? And we've worked really hard on that. Parks and Recreation, low crime, all those things. Well, then once you do that, and you win awards, the county's won awards, the city's won awards on our financial ability and the way that we try to run a conservative government, people move here. And the misnomer is that, hey, if there's not houses under construction, that people will quit moving here. And that's not the case. I mean, people will still move here. So, and that really gets into affordability, Bart. You know, it's a supply and demand issue. If you have a low supply, which we do right now, and you have a high demand, then your prices go up. And if you have a high demand and, or excuse me, a high inventory and low demand, then your prices go down. So one thing I don't think you'll ever hear me apologize. I don't know what the value of your house was 10 or 15 years ago, Bart, but I would bet that your house value has doubled over the last 10 or 15 years. And that's the largest investment that a lot of us have. That's the largest investment that retired people have. A lot of it is their home.
But if you sell it, it's hard to replace it.
That's
for
the
a
issue.
Reasonable price.
Yeah, that's it's a great time to sell. It's not a great time to buy.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with our mayor. How are you today? Hi. Are you there? We have a person on the phone, but I hear their phone, but I don't hear them. I hear it sound like a dog barking. Did you have a question for the mayor? Okay. You got to stay by the phone. We put you on hold. You can't wander off and fix breakfast.
That's right. There's a lot of things going on in the community, Bart. So, I mean, a lot on your list. I mean, there's been, you know, we let the contract for Veterans Park. So that's started, which is something we're really excited about. Lots of road projects that are happening on our state roads inside the city. Lots of projects on our city roads. There's been a big landfill debate going on. So there's all kinds of discussions that are happening in our community.
We have a text here from a listener, and this one is asking about the Buc-ee's location. They say that they had heard Buc-ee's is disappointed because of the landfill drop-off point near their location. That's not the landfill drop-off.
No, they're talking about the transfer station. Yeah, that's, yeah. We've not heard that at all. You know, Buc-ee's is under construction. That's a major project where they're, you know, when a Buc-ee's comes in, and I asked this question to the TDOT representative I met with a couple of weeks ago, Buc-ee's brings a lot of revenue to wherever they come, but they also bring a lot of infrastructure that has to be improved. So the state is improving that entire interchange where Buc-ee's is coming in. But, you know, Bart, there's this misnomer that what's the city's facility that's going on Butler Drive. I think there's this misnomer that it's a dump that's going there. So you have to really dig down into what's happening. That's going to be a negative pressurized warehouse where trucks pull in, they tip their trash, the doors are closed, and everything stays in there. So it's that's just another one of those things that continues to come about. Hey, look what the big bad city's doing. You need to acquiesce to expand the landfill. I mean, whenever we were doing that facility, people were getting robocalls, they were getting mail outs about why that it's just awful for that something like that to be happening. So it's almost like what you saw with Big Pharma, you know, where they were telling you everything's okay, and then when you're trying to come up with different solutions, that they're telling you why those solutions are not good. So that's what we're working through.
What do you think will be the ultimate outcome of this? Will we be independent on our own, or will we continue to have Middle Point Landfill? What will be the ultimate end of that?
You know, I think ultimately the majority of the community wants whatever solution to come to be a Rutherford County solution. I mean, I think that's stated pretty obvious. You know, I think the majority of the community is tired of being the dumping ground in Middle Tennessee. I think the majority of the community is tired of taking Davidson County's trash. You know, I've got friends in Davidson County, have been in multiple meetings with Mayor O'Connell and some of the Nashville people. We met, Darren Gore and I met with the Nashville leadership on solid waste, talking about different things. And I just think that, you know, the decision that was made 40 years ago, that we're tired of that. You know, we're tired of seeing all the semi-trucks that come off of 24 daily bringing trash. And, you know, I think there's a segment who looks at it's a financial benefit. But then there's another segment, which I think is a larger segment, who says the environmental concerns, the overall quality of life concerns, can you put a price tag on that? And so I truly believe, I think, you know, I think Middle Point's going to close. That's inevitable.
How soon?
I think the number that the general manager of Middle Point said publicly the other day was 4 years. So I think that's going to close. I think the city and the county are working on different solutions. I would emphasize that we continually need to partner together to work on different solutions. But I mean, Bart, look, this whole thing that's going on, you know, the county commission in 2018 voted 19-1-1 to not ever allow anything to happen with the old county landfill. I'm not sure what's changed. I mean, I've been in multiple meetings and I'm not sure what's changed. I think ultimately it's politics. And so I think it's important for the community to be engaged and understand what's happening. And so I think our county commissioners are very smart individuals. I think our county, the majority of our county commissioners are very well-intentioned individuals. And, you know, I talk to many of them. So I think we'll start seeing. And Bart, I'm all for transparency. I mean, I'll tell you this. One individual I've talked with a bunch, a commissioner who spoke a couple of, or maybe a week ago about the landfill, and I'm not going to get into things that were hurled against me. I mean, you know, there were things said, I'm saying mistruths and trying to scare people. And Bart, you've been around me a long time. I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to lay the facts out. I'm going to lay educated facts out, not talking points from other people, and let people make their decision. But I talked to Commissioner Harris, and you know, my main thing about this whole process has been that we have a transparent and open process, not a handpicked process, which has looked like what's happening right now. And so he committed to me. I'm going to make sure that I remember where I was. It was a week ago Monday. I'm walking a job site, and Craig has a tendency to get very animated when you talk with him, and so I was like, hey, look, this is all I'm asking for. We need to have a transparent process where we're not handpicking, for example, Republic as the sole option. It needs to be a transparent process where other individuals, companies, even the city can make proposals and say, look, maybe we're interested partnering. And Craig was like, okay, I'm okay with it. I said, look, I want to make sure you're clear. I'm clear what I'm asking. And he's, because I said, look, I'm going to get on my Facebook Live on Monday night and I'm going to talk about that. Craig said, absolutely. So I think as long as we can have an open and transparent process, that's what we need for the public, and that's the way we should operate.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with our mayor. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for the opportunity. Mayor, I have two questions. One, I thought the land on Burnt Knob Road for the new park was purchased over 10 years ago. Why does it take so long to get a new park up and running?
That's a great question. So we purchased property in 2016 on the corner of Burnt Knob, Veterans. I think it's Vaughn Road is the other road there. So it's about 120 acres that we bought from the McDonald family. Not an ideal location because it's next to an interstate. And so in 2016, we went through the entire process for a couple of years, community meetings, say, this is what we're going to build on that property. And then in 2018, the process came where we had to build a school. And so that school ended up being $24 million. So long story short, we had to say, okay, that's a need. The park at that time was a want. Well, fast forward while all that is going on, Middle Tennessee Electric and Murfreesboro Electric merged together. They had 150 acres on Veterans Parkway that is adjacent to Berkshire and the Cloister subdivision, and we had the idea that we could switch those properties. That property next to the interstate is much more ideal for other things than a park. The 153 acres next to neighborhoods in the city of Murfreesboro is much more suited for a community park. So 2021-2022, we switched property. We took the 153 acres. They took our 120 acres, and then it took about a year for us to go through the planning design process. 2 weeks ago, Thursday night, we went through the bidding process. The bids came back. We were about $8 million, $9 million under budget on what we had anticipated, and The park will be started in March.
Okay. And then thank you. That makes perfect sense. My second question is, why did the city get off of the grid system? So if you're downtown Murfreesboro, it's on the grid. If you go out towards St. Andrews Drive, it's high density development, lots of homes and apartments, and a two street road, and a lot of cars on that road just parked that create a safety hazard.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, downtown definitely is designed, what you're describing is more of what they call a spoke and hub system, where you have the downtown is our hub, and then you have spokes that radiate off of that. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. I do know a lot of that has to deal with the way the road network with state roads that bypass and intersect through our community, that it makes it, you know, your subdivisions are typically on a grid system, but your main arteries are not. You know, and I think you bring up a good point that we've tried to learn. If I could go back 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I think St. Andrews and Cason Lane would definitely be something that we would redesign and do that differently. We're trying not to make those same mistakes now that we made, you know, 25 years ago. I think allowing all the high density development and apartments that were around Cason Lane, you know, over 20 plus years ago, I think that was a mistake. And that's why you're seeing that we really don't allow what you call garden style apartments. I mean, if I could go back and do one thing, I think it's important, Bart, you've heard me say this, I think it's important when we see things that we did right and things that we did wrong. I think a lot of the apartments that were allowed on Fortress Boulevard, I think that was a mistake. And we've tried to really go back and say, look, these are only areas where we would allow that. And we're trying not to make those same mistakes again. That was a good questions.
Very definitely. Thank you for your call. We're going to move on and take our first break. We'll be back. For those of you with some more questions, give us a shout. We'll put you on hold and just hang in there. We'll be right back. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning.
It's where bold talk meets big laughs. The Rick Burgess Show, weekdays from 11 to 2.
The Rick Burgess Show, weekdays 11 to 2 on News Radio WGNS.
Hi, this is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Give your family and friends something else to feast their eyes upon when they sit at your dinner table. Ryan Flowers would love to create a beautiful centerpiece for your table.
Flowers from Ryan's Flowers Coffee and Gifts makes any occasion more special.
Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square. Plus, we offer delivery to all Rutherford County and as well as surrounding counties.
When I eat healthy, I can eat at Demas's. When I want to eat unhealthy, I can eat at Demas's. If I'm in the mood for pasta, I go to Demas's. If I want steak, I go there. It does not matter what I'm in the mood for. This is Peter Demas. The only thing we don't have is fried food. So it's very easy when you want to take a group out and there's that veto power person who's like, I don't want this. Well, we usually will have something that they want because we have such variety on our menu. The only thing we don't have is fried food. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenemi at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street in Murfreesboro. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course. Come out and see us for all of your music needs. We've got guitars, pianos, amps, drums, PA equipment, rentals, lessons, most anything you can think of in the music genre. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
We'll see periods of showers here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the upper 50s. Tonight, chance for showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a low near 35. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 46.
Looking for a lift kit for your truck or Jeep and need the right experts to install it? Look no further than Tire World. In Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Action Line with Bart Walker. Weekday mornings at 8:10 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning. Obviously, We are focusing on the great city of Murfreesboro. 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450 if you have a question. And we have a person standing by there. We'll be with you in just a moment. Want to say happy birthday to Ryan Campbell, 17. I tell you, that's a good...
Ode to be 17, Bart.
Those are some fun... These are fun days. So.
Amen.
But Ryan is having a big birthday, and his Nana and Pa nominated that he would be the winner, and he is. Gets that banana pudding from Slick Pig. Also, congratulations to Craig Snyder. Our good neighbor of the day today receives flowers from Ryan's Flowers, Coffee, and Gifts. Jenny Harrison and the family over there always doing a great job at Ryan's. And, of course, Craig does a great job. He was nominated for Showing Compassion in Times of Need. We need more people to do things
Amen.
Like that. Let's take a phone call again. Good morning. You're on WGNS with our mayor. How are you today?
Great.
Good.
Hey, I went over to a meeting 2 weeks ago with the Planning Commission.
Uh-huh.
And I want to thank each and every one of them for voting to let O'Reilly's take over the old Rosie's store and open a store over there.
Yeah.
We definitely need something. I live in that area. And I will have to say, the gym that took over the Kroger store, it seems to be doing real good also. And I got a question. I noticed y'all were building, somebody's building a bunch of apartments over there behind Patterson Park. Are those Section 8, or what is the deal on them? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I want to hit all three, Bart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll take the last one. Murfreesboro Housing Authority is building something very similar to what they built at Oakland Mansion, which if you've not been over to the Oaklands, it is unreal, unlike anything you've seen in Murfreesboro. So they're tore down all those older Section 8 housing. I don't know what the term of the housing was, but it was more older housing, and they're rebuilding back and rebuilding those better, more of a community as opposed to what was there. So that's that one. The second was the O'Reilly's. And we had concerns about the overall project of putting distribution type facilities in the areas like where that O'Reilly's is going. But what you're seeing is we came up with an idea to put that in more what President Trump back in 2018, he created these areas called opportunity zones to create investment. And so we thought it would be great to mirror that with those opportunity zones where like that Rose's has been vacant for quite some time on Martin Luther King Drive. And so that would help spur development in those areas. And, you know, that's really what you're seeing the city work on is, you know, we had a good discussion about the Rite Aid, for example, on that corner that's been vacant for a couple of years now of revitalizing and finding better ways to get people back in those areas. So that's a great question.
Now, the Rite Aid, for a long time, the library was looking for empty drug stores. Of course, that one's too close to the
CTC.
Tech Center.
Yep.
But what about the others? Are there any locations that would be suitable for the library?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, I've been pretty public about this, that I think the model of having one central library is a dying model. I think it makes way more sense to be able to put satellite libraries all throughout your community. So that's a discussion I hope that the library board will continue to have, that it makes sense. For example, there's a Rite Aid on the corner of Warrior Drive and South Church Street that would make total sense to be able to have better use. And we've done that with the technology center there at Hobgood, that it's a smaller building. And, you know, what, in my opinion, it would be great to have satellite buildings like that, have one central location that all your books are held. You check out the book and then it's delivered to your different locations. So I think it'd be great to use technology and finding better ways to provide those services.
We have a text here from a listener who's wanting you to talk some more about the O'Reilly's being located at the Roses store, yeah. which is Mercury Plaza. Is that going to be a retail location or is it going to be a warehouse?
It's going to be both. So it's going to be a storefront where you can go in and get, you know, your whatever you want at the O'Reilly's. I mean, the O'Reilly's have everything now. I go to the one on Memorial. And so, but then they're also finding better ways to put distribution centers inside of their facilities to where they can deliver to individual stores. So it will be both.
Was O'Reilly's the one that had originally purchased the old GE property?
Yeah, that was, yes. So, you know, we really thought that was a horrible decision to, you know, against really the city saying, hey, that's a bad idea. The O'Reilly's at the time bought that old GM Chromalox, not GM, General Electric.
General,
Chromalox site, and they were going to put a...
Well, Chromalox, were they there, or was that downtown?
No, Chromalox was downtown, where the Boys and Girls Club, that area. So it's the old, I'm pretty sure the old GE site.
It was
the
GE site.
So yeah, they were going to put a major distribution warehouse, like what you... Well, they ended up going out on 840 in the... right where Highway 109 is located. You can see it as you go east towards the 40 going to Knoxville. They wanted to put that there, and we were adamantly opposed, just saying, you know, Broad Street's an F-rated intersection, Thompson Lane's an F-rated intersection, and putting that much semi-traffic on that intersection would be horrible. So, like anything, I mean, the private sector has come up with different ways of doing that, and this is sort of some of their ways of doing it.
And it worked out well. The Murfreesboro Parks is going to be handling the maintenance of that facility.
Yeah, the Friends of the Battlefield used a federal grant, bought that property. They signed a user agreement with Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation, and we're going to be managing it.
What will be there? Will there be anything? Will it be basically what's there now?
Basically walking trails that can connect where General Bragg Trailhead goes under Thompson Lane. It goes up. You've got all the area where you sort of curve back around and you come where that site is. Then you actually can walk across the railroad tracks, and that's where you access the trail that goes to the battlefield. So it'll be a whole inner working network of walking trails.
Very good. Our phone number, by the way, 615-893-1450. Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning. One of the other issues that we were going to cover, housing affordability, there's probably not a whole lot you can do with that.
You know, we've tried, Bart, it's such a catch-22, and we talked about that last night, that affordable housing, there's one way to fix affordable housing, and that's density. And a lot of people don't want density. And I believe this too. I really don't think you want the government messing around with manipulating the market and what your house is worth. There's multiple examples to show how that's not worked very well. So, I mean, we're trying to find ways that we can cut the level of bureaucracy, that we can find ways that people can be more efficient. But, I mean, the bottom line is, Bart, it just costs so much more now to build a home than it did, heck, even 5 years ago. You know, land prices more, development costs are more, everything's more. And so that's a tough thing. And I mean, here's the thing. I think we can partner with organizations like Murfreesboro Housing to do a better job promoting and having affordable housing. But typically when you see housing costs go down, that means that there's some other things that are happening in the economy that are not good. You know, the Great Recession of 2008, everyone's house prices went down significantly. So I'm not sure it's a good thing that we're hoping for home prices to go down, because that means that there's other things that aren't going well. But I do think that we need to find a better way of providing affordable housing and other options that we've just... Murfreesboro Housing is doing a great job with that, but it's just not enough. And so finding areas that we can do that, I think, is beneficial.
One other area here, we have a question that just came in about this. They want you to give them an update on the downtown developments. They've been excited about all of the new growth
that's
forecast for downtown, getting more inner city residential areas, some more businesses and things of that sort. But that's sort of hit a stalemate for a while.
Keystone Development, which is where we are sitting right now, that's coming to the City Council on Thursday at our workshop. They finally have gotten some parking agreements and things that were associated with a hotel. Excuse me. They've got that worked out. So that's coming to us on Thursday to consider.
That's in your workshop.
That is.
So yeah, that's a whole day of
11:30 at the airport. We're having that discussion. There's lots of other things on the workshop, but I mean the team behind the scenes, Darren Gore, Adam Tucker, Greg McKnight, Sam Huddleston, Ben Newman, all those individuals have been working really hard on getting that structured to get ready to start. So I think you're going to see that across the street. You can see the Traco is lined up and ready to start where they tore down the old Longhorn Liquor. That's been torn down so that...
And the city did that.
Yes, our street department did that. Great team. So they're getting ready to start the Town Creek project. We're still working through the One East College project.
That's one of your favorite topics,
yeah,
always.
Yeah, we talk about it every time and my blood pressure
and
goes
up. And you brought
up.
It up.
Yeah, yeah, so...
So well, anything new on that?
No, I mean the city.
Have you heard anything from those people in Detroit? Is that?
I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think they're Brentwood.
Okay.
So I think the last conversation we got an appraisal on that property, and they're getting their appraisal. So I think we're waiting on their appraisal to come in, and then that will really start a discussion on what's next.
So that probably will come along because. They have no need for that property now the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, the tax incremental financing is gone on that property. There is an approved project that's on the property that I think the developers wanted to bring that back through to make some amendments to it, and I think that was sort of met with some resistance. So it's a dead property right now.
And well, you gave them several opportunities over the years.
Yeah, we did. We initially, you know, there was a hotel that was going to go on there, and then they came back because of COVID and wanted to take that away. And then, you know, we had historic interest rate increases. Well, I don't say historic. You got to go back to Carter administration to the highest interest rates, but. You know, then there were some other changes that were made. And so that, I mean, Bart, I don't know the developers really well. And I'm sure, you know, you want to give anyone the benefit of the doubt. But that's one of those decisions. If we could go back, I still would make the same decision on acquiring the property because I think that was the best decision.
The city purchased that land initially, for those of you who don't know it, and you sold it for... 1.8 million.
Yeah. And we already owned a third of that lot. There was a parking lot there. So I think the process that we went through was a very open and transparent process, but I think we made the wrong decision on the developer at that time. So I think it would have been better to, you know, maybe even pick someone that we were trying to make a good decision. I think we made a bad decision.
When was that made?
2019.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 2018 or 2019. So it's been five or 6 years.
As a contractor yourself, you know how buildings are. Does it concern you that for 5-6 years, that building that is a historical, at least in our community's mind, it's a historical building we were going to use for a productive purpose, the
yes.
old sanctuary.
Yeah.
Does it concern you that it's been empty for 5 or 6 years, and nobody's been looking to see if it's leaking or anything?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I think the longer something sits that's not being repurposed, the worse it gets. It's like, you know, it's like having a car that sits in your yard and doesn't get started for 5 years. So, yeah, I mean, that concerns me. But I don't think it's to the point to where something couldn't be done with that. I mean, you know, the ultimate goal, I think, is to have some kind of... something happened with that building. You know, that was the whole purpose on initially starting this conversation, was that building was built, you know, in the 1800s, or been there since the 1800s. And that was it's probably one of the most significant landmarks downtown besides the courthouse. So that was something, that was really the initial thought. And maybe, you know, I think we could have done things differently. But I mean, we've learned from that. We've learned from that on the Keystone project. I mean, the issue is, Bart, is we're not talking about small projects. I mean, we're talking about $100 million projects that are coming along. I mean, this Keystone project, I want to say it's $120 million or $130 million. So in the way that we're set up on these projects, it's not like you can just piecemeal those. You know, you've got a tract of land that you can say, hey, we're going to do 2 acres here. We're going to, I mean, it's like an all or nothing. And so I think that's something that we've learned from those and that we're hoping to do better.
You're looking at all of those totally changing the image of downtown Murfreesboro. It would make us look like a city of 170 or 80,000.
Well, yes. And I'm not sure, I don't want to say change the image, but I think what it does is it changes the activity level downtown. You know, over the last 10 years, the downtown area has gotten to be one where, I mean, you look at just the restaurants and the other businesses. And by the way, Bart, they're all small business owners who've opened these. I mean, they're not chains downtown. I mean, you've got Puckett's. I mean, I think that's maybe a chain, but it's still a small business owner who owns those. So I think having parking downtown, which we have a desperate need for, I think having living downtown where you see people walking up and down the streets and not just between the hours of 8 to 5, there's something to be said for generating that activity downtown because it decreases crime. There's lots of things that activity begets activity that we want to see downtown.
And Keystone will definitely change the residential.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the hotel, I mean, I don't have deep pockets like a hotel developer, but I think a hotel downtown would be wildly successful. I think if you were somehow able to put some meeting space downtown, that I think it would be very successful.
You always have some good predictions. When do you think the shovel's going to meet the dirt and this project's groundbreaking begins?
I think you'll see, you never, I mean, I want to say 100%, but I think if the council's supportive, you probably would start seeing construction in this 2025 cycle. You know, 2025, early 2026 is what I would bet. There's a specific.
So we're not looking at tomorrow or next month.
Well, I mean, I think there's like the lot across the street. I mean, I think that's the first phase, and that would be really easy to start that project because there's nothing there right now. So I think you'll start seeing that process go through, but it all relates back to the overall economy and interest rates. And, you know, right now, construction financing can be anywhere between 7.5% to 8.5%, and that's a different number than it was 6 years ago, 5 years ago, when that number was in the threes. So a lot of that you've got to work through, but I think it's our job as a city to do everything we can to protect the taxpayer and protect the city's investment to make that happen.
We're going to continue the conversation in just a moment. Stay with us. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest. We're going to be looking more at the infrastructure needs. We're going to look at a lot of exciting things, the rental price surge, a deep dive into housing trends, and much more. Stay with us.
Sometimes strange things can happen.
Coast to coast, all night, every night.
There's really no reason to be afraid.
On WTNS, AM, FM, online.
I am Charlotte Gardner. I've lived in Adams Place for 3 years.
Do you have entertainment?
3 times a week. There's always entertainment. Come on. You can find bridge partners. You can find card game partners. And Mahjong is a very popular game. You never lack for something to do. Never.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
Hi, this is Trevor at Bell Jewelers. If you're looking for a new watch, we have Longines and Seiko. And then in the pre-owned market, we have pre-owned Rolexes and Tag. You can keep up to date with that on our Instagram and TikTok. If you're trying to sell your pre-owned Rolex, bring it by to Bell Jewelers and we'll give you an offer for it. And if you're looking for a pre-owned Datejust, Submariner, or GMT, come to buy Bell Jewelers. We have those items here in store right now. Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad, across from Toots.
Friends? Yes. The financial partners whom you've built a relationship with at Old National Bank are still at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard location, right here in the borough. And so are the warm, homemade cookies.
Cookies are ready, dear.
Like Grandma used to make. If you need online and mobile banking, Murfreesboro's Old National Bank does that too. You and Old National Bank, better together.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.
We'll see periods of showers here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the upper 50s. Tonight, chance for showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a low near 35. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 46.
And the weather here on WGNS, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Since 1936, Middle Tennessee Electric has provided light, comfort, and connection to our community. As your trusted energy advisor, Middle Tennessee Electric is always there to help you. Connect online at mte.com or download the MyMTE app.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
We are back again. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. We are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. And as you have obviously a plate full of challenges, the greenway, the walkway, the daylighting of Town Creek, that's all coming into place. When do you think we'll be walking along that creek walk?
I think the scheduled completion date is mid to end of 2026. So that's going to be a longer project, but I think, you know, this time next year, hopefully we're looking at getting a completed project closer.
And will it connect? I know ultimately it was going to connect with the Murphy Spring Wetland Boardwalk.
I think that's the goal, yes.
How are you going to do that? Well, I mean, how are you going to get people across South Church? I know you're going to have a pedestrian walk across Broad.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see that connection happening with this phase. I think there'll have to be another connection to look at happening, and that may be another pedestrian bridge, but I don't think we've made it necessarily that far, because I mean, you know this, Bart, once you get across that other side of the street where the old Kentucky Fried Chicken, the lot where the Velvet Elvis used to sell there, and you've got the McDonald's, you'd have to figure out how to somehow get around through there. So that's going to be a little tougher project. Bart, one thing we have not talked about, and I think this is the important things that we want to let the residents know. I think at the end of the day, after we look at all these things, roads, parks, trash, you know, the number one goal of our community, or the number one expectation of our community, is that we live in a safe community. And Chief Bowen and the Murfreesboro Police Department have been sharing data that they've gotten back with some of our real-time crime center and some of the things that they've been working on, and they call them successes, like some of the things that they've had successes on. Every one of the categories of our crime numbers have come down this last year. A lot of that has been the city council's decision to, the significant increase we did with our police officers. It's a big number, and so we're almost fully staffed as a police department. It'd be the first time that I've been with the city of Murfreesboro that that's ever happened. And so you're starting to see those successes pay off. You're starting to see the LPR technology that was put into place. Look, these people are not looking for, are you speeding? Are you, you know, they had a hit and run accident the other day where the person hit and they ran. They were able to triangulate that person when they found the car. The person had taken the license tag off, but they were able to look at the damage on the side. They caught the person. And so, like, there was a sunglass hut that was robbed. And what you're seeing, a lot of this crime that's occurring is not people in Murfreesboro. It's these organized rings that are going from city to city, and they get places at the interstate, and then they take off. They were able to use that LPR technology, and they tracked down the thieves who robbed that sunglass hut. And the sunglasses were all the way in Miami. So you're starting to see this coordinated effort, and I say is working smarter, you know, not harder. and it's more efficient, and you're starting to see violent criminals that are taken off the street and using that technology in our police department to be able to work on that. It's amazing what really the investment that the Murfreesboro Police Department's made, and the city council has really supported our rank and file and making sure that's done.
Here's a question that we just got in. This one goes to the shooting at Antioch High School. They said that one of their big issues was a problem of communications with so many languages spoken by students. We have that same situation here. Is there any chance that, I think we have 47 languages, somebody said, at most of our schools?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the specifics of what happened in Antioch. All I can go and really say from a city standpoint, you know, we've put procedures and protocols in place to alleviate some of those things. One of those that, you know, the city funds in conjunction with the state and SRO at every single one of our officers or every single one of our schools. But, you know, Bart, I think I'm back to coaching baseball. I think I've told you that. I spend just about every afternoon coaching baseball now, and it's been really good for me. But I don't want to be pie in the sky, but some of the issues that we're seeing right now have to be where we're talking to our youth and our young people, no matter what language they are, and let them know that there's better things to solve issues than pulling a gun on someone. And you're starting to see that. I think you're starting to see that tide turn to be able to have the resources that we have in place. And look, I think when something like that happens, we need to have the mechanisms in place to deal with it, to make sure people are safe. But more importantly, that we make sure that those individuals that do things like that, there's consequences for what happens. My goal and what I'm trying to do is you try to mitigate that before it happens.
Mayor Shane McFarland, our guest this morning. There you have it. The whole story.
That's right. The whole
city of Murfreesboro.
Yeah, was it Paul Harvey that used to say that?
The rest of the story.
That's the rest of the story.
Have a great day.
Thanks.